Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, September 25th, Pope Francis urges bishops to help realize God's dream of harmony in the world in Jesus Christ. Vatican officials call on the UN General Assembly to promote sustainable food systems and access to food for all people. And Canada's bishops formally apologize to Indigenous peoples for the church's role in staffing residential schools. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis today met with bishops from various Christian churches and ecclesial communities who are associated with the Focolare movement. The Pope encouraged the bishops to help realize God's dream of reconciling everyone in Christ by being always open and never exclusive. Robin Gomes has the details.
Officially known as the Work of Mary, the Focolare movement was founded in 1943 during the Second World War in Trent, northern Italy, by Chiara Lubich and was approved by the Catholic Church in 1962. Inspired by Jesus' prayer that they may all be one, the movement aims at spreading the message of unity and fraternity worldwide, respecting diversity. The Focolare movement is active in 182 countries, and its more than 2 million members and friends include Christians of different churches and ecclesial communities, members of the major world religions, and people with no particular religious affiliation.
Lo spirito posse nel cuore giovane di Chiara un seme di fraternità.
Addressing the Focolare bishop friends, Pope Francis pointed out that the seed of fraternity and communion that the Holy Spirit planted in the heart of the young Chiara developed and grew, attracting men and women of every language and nation with the power of God's love, which creates unity without nullifying diversity, rather enhancing and harmonizing them. He said there is a relationship between this charism and the ministry of bishops who are called to build the people of God in the unity of faith, hope, and charity. Recalling the inspiration behind the Focolare movement, that they may all be one, the Holy Father said that the Pope and bishops should be at the service not of external unity or uniformity, but of the mystery of communion, which is the Church, in Christ and in the Holy Spirit. Witnessing to Christ so that they may attract everyone to himself, the Pope said, is God's dream and plan to reconcile and harmonize everything and everyone in Christ.
Davanti alle ombre di un mondo chiuso, dove tanti sogni di unità vanno a frantumi.
Amid the shadows of a closed world where many dreams of unity are shattered, where a project for all is missing and globalization navigates without a common route, where the scourge of the pandemic tends to exasperate inequalities, Pope Francis said, the Spirit calls us to dare to be one and have the courage of unity in a divided world. I am Robin Gomes.
The United Nations is holding its 76th General Assembly this week, with heads of state and government convening in New York and online. The Vatican, which enjoys permanent observer status at the UN, has participated in the event through representatives and video messages for various events. The Vatican Secretary for Relations with States, effectively its foreign minister, participated in a UN food systems summit by video message. Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher assured participants that the Church and the Vatican will always help to reach food equality throughout the world. Francesca Merlo has more.
Addressing participants at the United Nations Food Systems Summit, Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, Vatican Secretary for Relations with States, expressed the Holy See's pleasure in participating in this first ever summit, describing it as an important and timely initiative. In his video, Archbishop Gallagher expresses the pressing need to intensify international action towards transforming food systems and combating food insecurity and malnutrition. He noted that on this point, Pope Francis has stressed that in the 21st century, hunger is not only a tragedy for humanity, but also a real cause for shame. For this reason, continued Archbishop Gallagher, it is time to move from declarations and the formulation of strategies to effective and urgent action. The critical question, continued the Secretary for Relations with States, is how to transform food systems so that they advance the implementation of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, support regeneration of social systems after the COVID-19 pandemic, and promote the integral development of every person while protecting our planet's integrity. Again, quoting Pope Francis in his pre-summit message last July, Archbishop Gallagher said we must strive to increase resilience, strengthen local economies, improve nutrition, reduce food waste, provide healthy diets accessible to all, reach environmental sustainability, and respect local cultures. Archbishop Gallagher went on to note that access to food is a fundamental human right and that it is essential for a dignified life. Feeding the hungry is not enough, said the Archbishop. We also need to provide the poor and those in vulnerable situations with the necessary resources to support themselves and their families in the long term. One of the responses, he continued, is to provide them with greater opportunities for land use and ownership, financial resources and training. To be successful, said Archbishop Gallagher, bringing his address to a close, there is the need to implement a vision of food systems that integrates a human, economic, environmental and technological components. Finally, he assured all those watching that the international community can count on the Holy See to help make that vision a reality. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The Catholic bishops of Canada have formally apologized to Indigenous peoples for the Church's role in running residential schools earlier last century. The bishops acknowledged in a unanimously approved statement that grave abuses had been committed by some in the Catholic community and expressed their profound remorse. Cardinal Gérald Lacroix, the Archbishop of Quebec, tweeted his support for the apology and said Canada's bishops are committed to reconciliation and healing for Indigenous peoples. Bishop Raymond Poisson of Mont-Louis and St. Jerome dioceses spoke to Vatican Radio's Marine Henriot about the apology. The president of the Canadian Bishops' Conference expressed his remorse at the Church's role in suppressing First Nations culture.
There's a problem here. There's a problematic situation between us and the First Nation in Canada, not just for the Catholic Church, but also for all the society. We want to know each one another, listen one another. And it was difficult in the past, especially with this difficult experience of the residential school in Canada, especially in the west of the country, also in the east. This school is just symptomatic of what happens when civilization doesn't want to know the other one and just want to make of the other one the same thing that he is, disappear the other one.
This is the first time that the Church officially apologized. What was the reaction in Canada and among the autochthon population?
You know, from 1991, some religious entities of the Catholic Church manifest many apologized, but it is the first time that officially all the bishops unanimously of Canada makes that. But the Church is not just like a big company with just one direction. Here in Canada, it's, I think, 65 dioceses. So we are unanimous. We take many, many, many times about that together. And every bishop vote for this apologize. So it's the first time. And I understand why, for the society and also for the First Nation communities, it's important to be able to talk about that with the Pope himself, because he's seen just like the chief of the Church. The structure of the Church is different than what habitually we are knowing about an organization or an association. It's not centralized. It's decentralized. So I think that these apologies are very important because it's unanimous from the bishops of Canada.
That was Canadian Bishop Raymond Poisson speaking there to Marine Henriot. Germans are going to the polls on Sunday in a tight election, which will see Angela Merkel end her 16-year run as chancellor. As Stefan Voss reports, the results are near guaranteed to lead to months of haggling over some form of a governing coalition.
Traditional music awaited German Chancellor Angela Merkel at a gathering in Munich, where she backed her center-right party's candidate Armin Laschet to succeed her. She praised him as a bridge builder who will get people on board at a CDU rally.
Damit Deutschland stabil bleibt, muss Armin Laschet Bundeskanzler werden.
For Germany to remain stable, Armin Laschet must become chancellor. Merkel adds, the CDU and its affiliated CSU must remain the strongest political force. So vote for either of these parties, so Germany remains stable. We continue to govern, and Armin Laschet becomes German Chancellor. He would most likely say, God bless you, because he doesn't want to make mistakes. She also warned that, in her words, if we get it wrong now, everything that was achieved in 16 years could be squandered. Yet the election was too close to call, with polls putting Merkel's center-right almost neck and neck with the center-left SPD. The environmentalist Greens also are eyeing at least a share of power. Merkel, who remains personally popular after steering Germany through a string of crises, announced in 2018 that she wouldn't go for a fifth term. That set up the first election since West Germany's initial vote in 1949, in which there is no incumbent chancellor seeking re-election. The outcome of the vote in Europe's biggest economy is therefore closely watched by allies on the continent and around the world. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
The Archbishop of Erbil in Iraq has expressed his concern over the return of the Taliban in Afghanistan. Archbishop Bashar Wardah says the upcoming withdrawal of remaining U.S. troops from Iraq could have a negative impact on Christians and other minorities in the country. He told Aid to the Church in Need that the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan could give a boost to the so-called Islamic State extremists in Iraq and in neighboring Syria. Archbishop Wardah said he fears that the withdrawal announced by President Biden could lead to more persecutions. Bishops from across Europe are gathered in Rome this week to celebrate the Golden Jubilee of the Council of European Bishops' Conferences. The bishops have taken up Pope Francis's call at the start of their meeting to reflect on how to rebuild Europe on its Christian roots. According to English Cardinal Vincent Nichols, the Church can help in that process by offering credible answers to the great questions of life and our search for meaning. The Archbishop of Westminster spoke to Vatican Radio on the sidelines of the CCEE meeting.
One of the great challenges for the Church in Europe is the depth of history that has given rise to so much diversity across the continent of Europe. But I think what is clear that one of the great challenges is to keep alive the truth and the story of what it means to be a human person. For me, I remember reading about a moment in the history in England. It was in 628. And the King Edwin was holding court. And he had just escaped an attempted assassination. And he had just witnessed the safe birth of his daughter. So he'd faced death and birth. And he was asking his counselors, what does all this mean? And one of them said to him, our life is a little bit like a sparrow that flies in from the dark into the banqueting hall and sees all the noise and the excitement and the sadness of everything that's going on, but then flies out again, back into the dark. And because the Christian counselor offered him an explanation about from where we come and where we are going to, then he became a Christian, and that began one of the great waves of conversion in the north of England. So it's those existential questions about who are we, where have we come from, what is our destiny, and how do we navigate together this path across life.
Thanks there to Cardinal Vincent Nichols, Archbishop of Westminster. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, go to our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. Many thanks go to our sound engineers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.